Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of 10-Minute Tickets Talk. Last week, we had Rich Bellow, who's the head of team services for the ECHL, talking about what the ECHL is doing. This week, we've got a great guest, Chris Carmichael from the Orlando Solar Bears, who oversees all things ticket sales for the Solar Bears. And the Solar Bears are in the weeds, and Chris is in the weeds. They're playing. They've got fans. So to follow up Rich talking about as an overview of what everybody's doing, we thought it'd be a great opportunity to bring Chris on board to talk about what the Solar Bears have learned, what they've done right, what they've done wrong, and how they're planning for next year. So Chris, welcome aboard. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, sure, Steve. Thanks for having me. Love to be a part of it.
So tell everybody a little bit first about your situation for this season. What are your capacity restrictions, number of games you've had so far? How have the fans responded to what you guys have put in place?
Sure. So going into it, we knew we would have to be at, you know, 25-30%, you know, as we started it in December. So we started to plan ahead. You know, we used Ticketmaster to kind of rework our manifest as far as our pod integrity went. And so we went from a capacity of 9,049, which is a, you know, normal season, down to 2,250, so 2,250 fans. Now, the process in doing so, as far as creating that manifest, it was kind of in depth, but we worked alongside with the Magic since we share the building with the Orlando Magic. We kind of have a shared manifest that we use. And so we were able to kind of manipulate on our end a little bit to satisfy our season ticket members and their needs as far as their ticket pods are concerned. That's kind of how we kind of formulated that capacity. Now, as far as our attendance has been, we've had seven games so far, and we've had roughly 2,250 people in the building. So, one of the harder ticket items to sell within that 2,250 are our premium seating locations, our Loge boxes, which are sold at 4 or 6 person pods, and our premium suites, which are, you know, normally 15 to 24. We've got one for 46, you know, suite that holds 46. Those have been a little bit harder to move. We've kind of figured out, you know, innovative ways to kind of move those and work with our capacity restrictions as far as pods are concerned, to try and maximize our revenue. Now, as far as our fans reacting to our seating capacities and where their seats are located, I think everyone has really responded positively. We just did we recorded a couple season ticket members, you know, giving their testimonials on what they felt leading into their first game, you know, wearing masks and you know, where their seats are going to be located. Are they going to like their new locations? And so we talked to them about that first. You know, talk us through what your concerns were, you know, how am I going to order food? How are we going to enter the building? You know, and so on. And then as we kind of went through that questioning and their testimonials, they shared their experiences coming in, how it was getting through security, how it was when they first got to their seats. You know, all the seats that were not in use were strapped. So nobody can sit there unless they remove the Velcro strap, which did happen here or there. But for the most part, you know, everyone is at least six feet away from each other, you know, a row in between, about 3 to 4 seats in between, you know, each pod. So our season ticket holders really responded positively. Our fans, we just sent out a survey to everyone that came to our first 7 games, and everything's been positive. You know, we surveyed them on their experience coming into the building, all of the different, you know, announcements made during the game about masks and about social distancing and washing your hands, our merch stands, the spacing that you need, you know, while you're in line at those merchandise stands, we surveyed them on that. Everyone was pretty satisfied with that. They don't have people, you know, up their backs trying to find the right size. They were able to, you know, take some time and do all that stuff. So everything's been positive so far as our season ticket members are concerned. Now, you are going to get the occasional fan who's not too happy about their seat location. And we deal with that on a case-by-case basis. But for the most part, it's been pretty positive.
And you mentioned the premium seating and the loge boxes were a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a challenge because of pricing or something else? And how did you adjust to get creative to make sure that those seats actually got sold?
So I think a lot of it is pricing, but a lot of it too is the unknown, right? So people know what your lower bowl is. People know, you know, I'm sitting in section 115, I'm sitting in section 103. They kind of know the viewpoints, but you say loge and people don't know what loge is, you know? So it's getting the word out there that you're getting waiter, waitress service. You've got your own semi-private little box area. You have TV screens on the table. So it's kind of getting the word out about those seating locations that we've tried to do a little bit more of. And it also is pricing. So those are our higher price seats. So those will run about $50 per seat per game. So you're looking at, $200 to $300 per loge. Now, those are the last ones to sell. We're not able to break up pods. So this year, what's different this year than in past years is that if someone wanted 2, 3, 4 tickets, they can go online and they can pretty much buy anywhere where there was 2, 3, 4 tickets. You know, Ticketmaster just doesn't like leaving one single seat available, but they were able to go online and buy whatever they wanted. Now, with this, with seating pods, they have to buy the whole pod. So if someone's looking to buy 3 tickets, but there's no 3-person pod available, they have to buy 4, and we force them to kind of buy 4. So they have to buy that extra ticket in a 4-person pod. That's been kind of a struggle. We get calls all the time. Hey, I can't buy 5 seats. I'm looking for 3 seats. I can't find a 3-seat pod. We do have a general admission seating area that's not sold online that we can kind of help place them in those seats as long as they're available, which is one of the ways that we've thought about how we can help those folks out, so we're not turning people away. but that's been a struggle, is the pods and the higher price seating in the loge, the loge area, not being able to separate those pods and sell them as twos and put two different groups together.
And talk a little bit about group sales and the group sales effort. And have you had any success with groups doing anything? We're hearing around the country that no groups are endorsing outings, but have you had anybody raising their hand saying, I'm going to bring my school group, my church group, or have my company do an outing, or at least make an offer out to the members of their group to give them the ability to buy?
Sure. Yeah. Groups have been tough. I've talked to a couple other teams in our league, as well as, the Orlando Magic, and groups have been a tough sale for everyone. But what we've seen is that most groups, they don't want to organize the groups themselves, but if you send them a link to a discounted ticket, they're more than happy to send that out. So we've reached out to a couple of our partners, our past group leaders that have done larger groups, and they're more than willing to send out a link. So we've seen some success with that. Now, anthems have been tough, but one thing that we have been doing is reaching out to the schools that we've had these relationships with over the years who have done the larger groups, especially for our school day game, which has grown over the years. Unfortunately, we can't have it this year, but we're reaching out to all those groups and saying, look, I know you can't bring out your school. You guys can't sing the anthem. You can't sing God Bless America. But as a chorus director, are you able to sing by yourself? That helps one us book an anthem. We're not requiring them to sell a certain amount of tickets for the chorus director to sing the anthem, but it continues that relationship as we look forward to next year, is that the chorus director came out and sang, maybe they send out an offer to their, to their school. Hey, Mr. So-and-so is singing the national anthem, come out and support him if you want. It's not mandatory. But that helps continue that relationship with that school, with that chorus director. So next year, when it comes time to book anthems, that we can say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, you came out and sang the anthem last year. We'd love to have your school now come out and sing the anthem. And hopefully that relationship builder that we use this year offering the anthem to those chorus directors will help book larger groups next year, as we look forward to that. Now you asked if there's been any larger groups that have kind of raised their hand. And, funny you mentioned that. I had a group, reach out to me last week, the Autism Society of Greater Orlando. they love coming to our events. They love bringing out their kids. They like coming to our Marvel games because, you know, we got the superheroes there. And so they reached out to see if they can do something. Now, it was really big for them because they are now organizing an event that everybody's socially distanced. Normally what they would do is we would have a room prior to the game. They would go up in that room. They would make signs, you know, to hold up for the, you know, for the players when they're on their video board, they go Bears and all that. And we'd have shades and a couple of players go up there and sign autographs. We're not able to do that this season, but they still wanted to do an outing for the kids. And the woman that I was working with, she says, look, our families, they've been stuck inside since March. We want to do something. We haven't done anything with the families. The kids are getting restless. We got to do something. And they love coming to Solar Bear games. Is there anything we can do? Can you get a block of 150 together while still socially distanced? And we do have some locations where I was able to get, you know, they actually booked a group of 140. I just bought them in yesterday. But they're all together. She sent me the different pods that they need based on the families. And I was able to place them in, you know, 2-seat pods, 3-4s, based on what we had available in our most affordable section. So I'm really looking forward to having them come out on March 6th. And then I really want to get a testimonial from her about the whole process. You know, how was it, like, how you came to the decision to come out? You know, what made you make that decision? Why the Solar Bears? How was your experience booking the tickets? And then how was your experience when you came out? Did your group have a positive experience? Did everyone have a good time? You know, although it's not a normal season, was it up to your expectations? And kind of once we get that, kind of circulate that, you know, around to other groups that might be thinking about, you know, planning an outing, but not necessarily sure if they want to, you know, plan a large group like that.
And I was just going to ask that as a follow-up. Once you get that testimonial, how will you use it? It sounds like you'll be sending it out to other group leaders, people that, mm-hmm. as you said, you want to maintain the relationship and stay connected to them, even if they can't come to a game. And if they are considering it or concerned about it, hey, here's proof that it does work. I think that's an excellent strategy from a marketing standpoint. You said you played 7 games. You basically sold out 7 games. You got 7 games of capacity, even though those last 6 were selling toward the end. How have you utilized the fact that you're technically sold out as a way to get people for the rest of your season maybe to buy in advance and encourage people to say, geez, if you really want to come to a Solar Bears game, do it earlier because you run the risk of not being able to buy a seat because look where we are. We've already played 7 games and every one of them have been paid to essentially our full capacity.
Well, we made a big push for season tickets based on that capacity issue, right? So because we've come close to selling out or have sold out except for those higher price premium seating, prior to the season and after the first set of games, we rolled out a campaign for season tickets. It's the only way to guarantee a seat. You know, buy season tickets, whether it be a full season, a half season package, or even a 5-pack, buy one of those plans and you're guaranteed a seat. You know, what we need to do a better job of, and I've realized that after seeing how things have gone the past couple of games, is we need to promote it better. We need to, you know, come out and say, look, inventory is limited as we get closer to that sellout. And then once we, you know, sell out, then post something about it. Look, we're sold out. And then get the consumer to think, look, they're selling out all these games. I need to buy, like you mentioned, I need to buy a week in advance. I need to buy 2 weeks in advance. You know, historically or the past, over a normal season, you know, we don't see a spike in sales until 3 to 4 days out from the game. What we want is we want to move that and shift that to a week in advance, just so we can plan a little bit better. But I think by creating a marketing campaign or even just posting on our social media platforms that we're sold out, I think that helps create that demand, you know, looking at that week to 2 weeks in advance of the game to sell tickets, hopefully moving that spike from that three days to that 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, fear of missing out. that fan used to buy in a day, 2 days, 3 days before. If you're telling them, geez, I'm sorry, you can't do that, you got to buy a week, 10 days, 2 weeks in advance. They're getting in the habit of buying in advance, which is exactly what you want to have happen as you go forward to the 21-22 season. The more people you can train to buy in advance, the better off you're going to be. So let's talk a little bit about planning for next year. Your season runs until June, so it's a little bit, a couple months later than normal. Give everybody an idea over the next 60 to 90 days or so what your plans are as it relates to staffing, renewal timelines, marketing, new season tickets, new ticket packages. What does that look like? Is it different than what you've done in years past? How are you going to make sure that the 21-22 season is as successful as humanly possible with, fingers crossed, assuming all play to full capacity again?
Sure. Yeah. As far as renewals are concerned, we're actually rolling out renewals next week. So we didn't change our renewal process. Where we're different than some of the other teams in our league is that we have an auto renewal process. So you sign a contract when you sign up for season tickets, and then you're automatically renewed come March 1st. So we send out information. We give you a 2 week window to opt out. So you have from February 15th to March 1st to opt out. Those who do not opt out in that period, will then be charged on March 2nd. We run a 10-month payment plan then thereafter, and they're locked in for the season. Now, per the contract, and we didn't feel like we needed to move that back a little bit, but per their agreement, the dates are February 15th and March 1st, right? And the March 2nd charging. So we could have changed that. We would have needed to send an addendum to all of our season ticket numbers. But what we decided is, look, why change it? I don't think we need to change it. As far as renewals are concerned, I think we're in a good spot. Playing games, being able to answer questions. Look, I think renewals and selling new seasons for next year, I think it's great to do while we have games. And I'm actually happy that we're playing into June. You know, normally we have to rely on a deep playoff run to kind of, you know, use that buzz to sell news. Because it's easier to sell, right, when you're playing games. You can invite your prospects to the game. You can show them what they're going to experience. Now, this year's a little bit different, being at a smaller capacity. We could still invite prospects to games, but the atmosphere and their experience might be a little different than a normal year. But the best way to sell tickets is when you're in season, when you can show them the actual product, what they're going to be getting. You can show them their exact seats. So I'm glad that we're playing into June. It gives us that extra month or two to be able to sell tickets right then and there at the game. So I'm really happy about that. Now, as far as other planning, you know, 60, 90 days, you know, as we look forward to next season, we did a lot of planning in March, April, May. While we're working from home, we were kind of, the season had been, you know, canceled early in March of last year. And then there was nothing going on. You know, we're working from home. We weren't able to make calls because of everything going on. We just didn't want to be like calling people to take their money when they're not sure what's going on with COVID and people were furloughed at that time. You know, we didn't want to be insensitive to our fans and our season ticket members. So we had like kind of a freeze on calls. So what we ended up doing was, let's use this time to do some research. What are other teams doing that are successful? How can we improve some of our processes? And you know, what can we do different to increase revenue, you know, for this season, because it's a different season. And then also, you know, how can we use that moving forward? And we really had some brainstorming sessions. We got some great ideas. We're going to take some of our events, like our military night, and we're gonna blow it out of the water. We thought of some ideas to make it a lot better, doing some swearing in ceremonies and you know, recognizing some veterans and more than we do now, kind of doing some stuff like that. So we started the planning already back when we weren't doing anything, when we couldn't do anything. And we're just going to expand on that now as we plan for next season, as we start planning our military nights and our different group nights and our promo nights. We already have that plan in place from when we were sitting at home, you know, doing nothing. I say doing nothing in quote, you know, we were doing stuff, but you know, we weren't able to sell, right? And then we also, like I talked about, you know, different revenue streams. So we're looking at different revenue streams. How can we increase our revenue this year when we're at such a small capacity? And we've been able to utilize, you know, FIVO a lot. You know, I mentioned our premium seating. I mentioned our Lowe's boxes, but we also have our premium suites, you know, hospitality suites normally sold, like I mentioned, 15 to 24, some at 46. Those are not normally sold online through Ticketmaster. You know, that's who we use as our ticket, you know, database and all that. We don't normally sell those online. So we had to think of ways that we could get those out. And FIVO was a great tool. So we use FIVO to sell, you know, non-normal inventory that we have in our database, which is our suites. Now, what we also did was we reduced our capacities or our minimums in those suites. So normally a 15-person suite, you had to buy all 15 seats. Now you can buy six. So those have been moving like crazy. We rolled out a campaign. It was called Sweet and Safe. Where we rolled out that reduced minimum campaign and we sold out of our suites for the next set of home games. That has been huge for us. And we're going to use that for years to come too. So just as far as planning for next year, I mean, you really learn this year on ways that you can increase revenue for a COVID year. But all that can be used next year in a normal year to help take that normal year, you know, revenue to the next level.
Just like a restaurant, like a lot of these restaurants have dug into curbside delivery and those aspects.
Yep.
And get people to actually come back inside the restaurant, keep doing those other things and see it grow. I'm curious,
absolutely,
with your suite buyers, by reducing the minimums, have you seen an influx of new buyers that you'd never had before? Because that would seem like a perfect opportunity to get them engaged with a new product where they're spending more money and they might then become even more likely to buy that in future years. Is that created a whole new market for people in that particular product?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have seen a lot of new suite buyers now that they're able to buy online. It's been a great tool. One of the other things too is people come up to the box office on day game and they're looking for six seats. Well, all we have is a six seat loge, which is, you know, $300 a seat or a six person loge, you know, $50 a seat. Now we have our sellers trained to say, well, look, we can get all six seats in a suite. If you want, you'll have more room to spread out. You guys can order food. I mean, they can order food from a loge box too, but you can order food. You can be in a suite for a night, you know, and that's a great selling point is being in a larger suite with your little, your smaller group. You have more room to kind of spread out, have a good time, you know, more than being in a smaller seat location and kind of, you know, closer to other pods. I forget where I'm trying to go with this, but I kind of lost my train of thought, but we've seen those sellers pitch our suites a little bit more, and those people end up buying a suite rather than a six-person loge because they are they're interested in that suite. They're interested in having that premium experience rather than paying all that money for a loge box. They want that premium experience of being in a suite. And we've been able to upsell some people into those suite locations on day of game, even you know, as we begin to sell out of our inventory.
And you guys have such a strong analytics department with the Magic helping you out that capturing all that data, capturing those upsells creates tremendous lead opportunities for next season and puts you in a great position. Like you said, hey, we know what the same old is, but now we've added all these new things that are going to help us increase. And I think one thing I would tell everybody who's listening to this is there's two great things that are going to come out of this pandemic. Number one, the fear of missing out. If you're having to play to reduce capacity, shout from the rooftops that your games are selling out, because that regularly doesn't happen for an ECHL team or an AHL team or a minor league baseball team. But here's an opportunity to get people in the habit of buying in advance. It's also an opportunity to change up some of your products that people may normally not buy, or you may normally not thought of, where in what may seem like internally a little bit of desperation for revenue, it creates new windows of opportunity for customers to buy things that you wouldn't have expected them to buy, which then as part of your relationship building with that customer gives you the ability when things do return to normal to increase their asset value or increase that long-term customer value to your team. So for those of us who are out there sitting there going, oh my gosh, this has been terrible, this has been a nightmare. You know what? What's that saying? You make lemonades out of lemons, do what you can, and use this going forward as a tremendous growth opportunity. I think you're a great example of teams that are surviving and putting yourself in position of prospering going forward. So I think that's fantastic. Before we let you go, because I know you're going to get back to work, you guys got games. If there was one thing you could do differently, if you rewind back to before your season started, one thing you could do differently to make sure anybody listening doesn't make the same mistake you guys made, what would that one thing be?
I would just say over-communicate. I think communication is key, especially with your season ticket members as you're going to relocate them into a socially distanced arena, is communication. You know, looking back at it, I wish I had a little bit more time to call every single season ticket member, let them know what their new location is going to be and kind of explain the process. We didn't have that time, so we relied on emails and text messages to our season ticket members to try and explain the process. But so then we've had to go back and for people that weren't too happy about their locations, we've then had to, you know, explain the process to those people. I would have liked more time to explain, you know, how we decided on our socially distanced manifest, how we decided on your seat location, and basically explain to them, you know, the whole process that we went through, and you know, tell them, look, it wasn't as easy as, okay, you sit here, you sit here. Like, there was a whole process behind it. It took some time. It wasn't something that we like to do. But I think communication is key. You just need to communicate to your fans, to your season ticket holders, about what you're doing and why you're doing it. I think looking back, I wish we had more time from when we got our manifest to when we relocate everybody to kind of explain the process.
Perfect. I think that's especially for baseball teams and these spring sports, soccer also. Most of them will hopefully have already started this process. Yes, they may be waiting to see what their capacity is really going to be like. But the great thing is you can always fill them in. But if you let everybody know, and people at this point, 10 or 11 months into this, are saying, we get it, we understand, you got to make adjustments. Nobody's going to fight back. So I think that's done on perfect. Chris Carmichael, appreciate your time today from the Orlando Solar Bears. Good luck the rest of the season. And maybe this year will be a playoff run deep into late June and July, so we'll get even more people buying in preparation for next year. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve.